This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.TV. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Tuesday, December 19th, six short days until Christmas. And with that, we're talking Royals baseball today with Jeffrey Flanagan, our Royals reporter for MLB.com. Jeffrey, we thank you so much for the time. And as I said, less than 1 week until the Christmas holiday. And with that, we're going to kind of end the podcast with some holiday-themed questions, if you will. We'll have a little bit of fun. But first, I want to get a couple of news updates on your end, beginning first and foremost with Ned Yost. As everybody knows by now, had that terrifying fall from a tree about a month and a half ago, if memory serves. And it was, I don't think people realized at the time how serious this was and how life-threatening this was, but it was indeed all those things. But give us an update on Ned, and it seems like he's getting better with each passing day.
Yeah, there's some good news there. He had actually had a checkup last night to check on his progress, and he's up to the stage. He's out of the easy chair, which he had been stuck to for 23 and a half hours a day, and then a little wheelchair. Now he's actually using crutches for small sample sizes. I mean, we're not talking, you know, walking around Georgia, the state of Georgia with it, but he is using crutches for a little bit, getting used to that. So that's all good news, and, you know, we hope to I don't think we'll see him for Fan Fest at the end of January, but we really hope to see him opening a spring training in February.
Is there an expectation that he's going to be, you know, back on his feet and completely 100% by the time spring training opens up, or could there still be some rehab left by that point?
Oh, I think there'll be rehab left. The people I've talked to that know about these types of injuries take, you know, they take a long, long time to heal, and especially for anyone who's over 60, so it even takes longer. And but, you know, Ned is one of the toughest guys I've ever been around. So if there's a way he can function normally at spring training, he will do it. Now, as you know, spring training, you know, it's pretty spread out. There are fields everywhere, and there's a lot of walking around. And I just kind of wonder how that will affect him. So I don't know for a fact if he's going to be 100%. I don't know that he won't be. I think it's just too early to tell. We're still, whatever it is, 7 weeks away from spring training, and hopefully he continues to heal and progress.
Jeffrey, have you spoken with him one-on-one yet? Can you speak to his demeanor and his mood since this whole thing happened?
Yeah, actually, I was the one who kind of broke the story about a month ago that this was really a life-threatening deal, and we spoke one-on-one for probably about 30 minutes one morning, and that's when I kind of, the gravity of the situation set in with me as he talked a lot about, you know, laying on the ground and wondering how bad it was. He didn't think it was that bad at first. And then when he got to the hospital, the doctors, the surgeon actually told him, you know, we thought we were going to lose you on the table. We thought we were going to bleed out. We just could not stop the bleeding. And that's when reality set in for him too, and his wife, Deborah. They at that time, they didn't think it was life-threatening, but obviously it was.
Yeah, obviously. And we hope that Santa brings him a speedy recovery underneath his Christmas tree, because the game is better with Ned Yost. I think we can
all agree
on that point. Absolutely. And we hope that his recovery continues to go well and that he's back on his feet 100% by the time that spring training rolls around. As you said, not too far from now. It's you look at the calendar, and it's coming up quick. So hopefully we wish the best here for Ned Yost, of course. Jeffrey, switching gears here, of course, you know, all eyes continue to be on Eric Hosmer, part of a, you know, marquee free agent class. He's one of the big names out there. And it seemed like, you know, I mean, you hear his name attached to a couple of teams. We've heard Padres in recent weeks. We've heard Red Sox in recent weeks. But now, just yesterday, as we're speaking here on a Tuesday, the Red Sox re-signing their first baseman from last year, Mitch Moreland, to a two-year deal. So that theoretically takes them out of the Hosmer sweepstakes. So now if you're a Royals fan and you see this and you see that one of the potential suitors for Hosmer is pretty much out of the race, you know, is there a pulse here? Is there some glimmer of hope that maybe, just maybe, something could get done between Hosmer and the Royals?
I think there is. I mean, you know, it was kind of assumed that the Red Sox were going to at least make a strong bid for him, and they were, you know, maybe one of the few remaining big market teams who, you know, could lay out that kind of money. And then the Mitch Moreland signing came on, which, you know, really kind of hit everybody by surprise. I mean, I don't think anybody in Boston saw that coming. I didn't read any tweets or anything like that that it was even rumored. So that definitely takes them out. We would think it takes them out of the Hosmer sweepstakes, as you mentioned. And, you know, now, you know, it could come down to the Royals and the Padres of all teams, the two small market teams. We don't know yet. I mean, there could be, there's always a mystery bidder out there that we haven't identified yet. But certainly if the Royals do get into that situation, and he's been a target since the end of the regular season. They've always wanted him, even though they're going through a rebuild. They really like his presence in the clubhouse. Obviously, he's very productive on the field. He's great in the community. He's the type of guy they would like to sign long-term and, you know, maybe even be a George Brett type here, you know, where he ends his career here, like Alex Gordon probably will. But it's going to take some financial maneuvering, because Dayton Moore told me at the winter meetings that if by some chance they could, you know, re-sign him, they are going to have to shave payroll. They do not want to go over $120 million in payroll this year. They would even like to shave it below that. So if you take off, you know, if you add 18 to 20 for whatever Haas is worth on the market, well, that's got to get you got to balance the book somewhere. So it'll take some creativity for Dayton to do that. But it's you know, like you said, it's got a pulse right now, much more than it did 2 days ago.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. And Jeffrey, to me, and I'm sure to you too, Hosmer is one of the more fascinating cases in free agency this offseason, because the arguments I hear against him is that, well, for a first baseman, he's not a power guy. You know, he's a mid-20 homers guy. The argument against that is, well, he plays 81 of his games in cavernous Kauffman Stadium. So you put him almost anywhere else, maybe he hits you 30-35. You know, is the truth somewhere in the middle, or, you know, how do you assess that part of Hosmer's game?
Well, I think there's no question. Look, if he played at Camden Yards, Yankee Stadium, perhaps even Fenway, I know I've seen the metrics, you know, that say, well, it wouldn't make that much of a difference. But, you know, that's from pass hitting. You know, players at Kauffman Stadium don't swing for the fences because it's fruitless. I mean, you're just going to hit a lot of fly balls to the warning track. So I think if he went one of those places, especially his opposite field power, at Camden Yards, are you kidding me? I think he did 40 or 45 there. He's one of the best, maybe even the best opposite field hitter in baseball. Get him to a short park, those numbers are going to skyrocket. So that part of the argument, I don't buy at all. You know, and I also don't buy the argument that, you know, he's not a gold glove first baseman, because I've watched pretty much every single game he's played, and it's over 1,000 of them with the Royals, and he is a magician around first base. Does not have great range. I will concede that. He will concede that. But he's probably saves anywhere from 40 to 70 errors a year with his ability around first base to not just scoop balls on errant throws, but balls that are way high, way right, way left. I've never seen anybody that good at saving errant throws, and that just saves you a ton of outs, a ton of wear and tear on a pitching staff, not to mention all the runs you save. That part of his game is vastly overlooked by some of the so-called advanced metrics.
Well, one thing we know for sure, Scott Boras is making all these same arguments in favor of his client. Because
you think so? You think he's going to tune into that?
One or two. Yeah, I think he's definitely got these things on rehearsed word for word as he tries to get his guy nine figures and then some. And we'll see how that transpires throughout the course of the winter here. So, Jeffrey, as we come down the home stretch, let's have a little bit of fun, as I mentioned. Of course, with Christmas just 6 days away, a few Christmas-themed questions with regards to the Kansas City Royals. So, Jeffrey, let's start here. Which player would make the best department store Santa Claus on this Royals team?
That's the easiest one of all. That's got to be Salvador Perez. Yeah. I could just see him in the Santa Claus outfit, the white beard, smiling all the time, bouncing kids off his knees. And he would love it. Fans would love it. That's a no-brainer.
All right, awesome. Question two, Jeffrey. Which player or players do you see being part of a Christmas caroling group going door-to-door on Christmas Day?
Well, you know, a year ago, it would have to be Gerard Dyson because he could never shut up in the clubhouse. He was singing all the time. That guy this year was Danny Duffy, especially if he had a start that night. He'd be singing, whether it was reggae or R&B or even country music. I mean, he would be singing. He's got an awful voice, and it was just hilarious to hear. So I would like to see that happen, caroling. I mean, they might just shut the door on him and pull the shades.
Yeah, maybe that would be a hint, but he might not take it. Jeffrey, question three. Of course, as we all know, little Ralphie from A Christmas Story, all he wanted that Christmas was his Red Ryder BB gun. He got it. So the question is, for the Royals, what is their Red Ryder BB gun this season, if you will?
Eric Hosmer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it just changes the dynamic as they go through this really dramatic rebuild. If you can at least still have Salvador Perez and Eric Hosmer on the team, I think for the fan base, that would be huge. Just the reputation they have around the league. Eric Hosmer is just one of those tremendous influences in the clubhouse. And if you're going to go youth and bring a lot of young kids come up, he's the perfect kid, a perfect guy to shepherd in these kids.
And Jeffrey, the final question here. Sometimes, you know, we'll see a case where a player and a team's fan base need to kind of kiss and make up after a rough season. So from that regard, who needs to step under the theoretical mistletoe and start fresh with the fan base in Kansas City for 2018?
I think I'd probably say Ian Kennedy because he's got three more years. You know, some of the other guys have had rough years like Soria, Herrera, and so forth. You know, they might get traded, but Ian Kennedy's going to be here with the length of his contract. And after a really terrific start last year in April, he got hurt, never was the same again. And I know the fan base got really down on him as he continued to serve up gopher balls and his ERA kept skyrocketing, and I think he's going to bounce back big time. But I think after his first year where he had, a 3.68 ERA and fans were pretty happy with him, they were equally as down on him last year. So that's a relationship that definitely could use a mistletoe.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes, you know, you don't find out until the off season that a guy for, you know, weeks or even months on end was pitching through pain, pitching through an injury, and that could cause a downturn in some numbers. That happened with Kennedy, and hopefully a bounce back is in store for 2018. Jeffrey Flanagan, great stuff as always. Thank you for the time, and a happy holiday to you and your family. We will talk again, I believe, sometime in 2018. In the meantime, it's Matt Waymire signing off for MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.